Here. Councilor Molly?
Here.
And Councilor Hussain is here in the live stream. Councilor Bilak?
Here.
Councilor Cutter?
Here.
Councilor Lee?
Here.
Councilor Poundat?
Here.
Councilor Stapp?
Here.
Councilor Ferris? Councilor Thibodeau?
Here.
Councilor Ansari is here in the live stream. Councilor Lang? Councilor Designate Neza. Councilor Bobes is here in the live stream. Councilor Mustafa?
Here.
Councilor Chung is here in the live stream. Councilor St. Hilaire is here in the live stream. Councilor Sunday?
Not here.
Councilor Bertaroli? Not here. Councilor Palmer?
Present.
Councilor Izuki is here in the live stream. Councilor Hadouche?
No.
Councilor Kim?
Here.
Councilor DePinto?
Here.
Councilor Agarwal? Councilor Risby is here on the, on the live stream. Councilor Bruce is here on the live stream. And Councilor Belcourt?
Did you say my name?
What's that?
I'm here.
Thank you, Mr. Dean. Listen, please. I got you. All right.
There's a burrito sauce.
With that, we'd like to respectfully acknowledge that our university and our students' union are located on Treaty 6 territory. We're grateful to be on Cree, Dene, Soto, Métis, Blackfoot, and Nakota Sioux territory, specifically the ancestral space of the Papas Chase Cree. These nations are our family, friends, faculty, staff, students, and peers. As members of the University of Alberta Students' Union, we honor the nation-to-nation treaty relationship. We aspire for our learning, research, teaching, and governance to acknowledge and work towards the decolonization of Indigenous knowledges and traditions. Begin with announcements. The next meeting of Students' Council will take place July 10th, 6 p.m. here. I believe that's all I have for my business. Notes. All right. We have no presentations that are on today. Actually, before we go to presentations, I am going to special order one of the items from the late editions onto the main agenda. Item 7A in the late editions, I ruled dilatory as they were both doing the same thing, and it wasn't the person who moved for them wasn't sure which one it was supposed to be. So the second one, item 7B, will be special ordered onto the main agenda. All right. There's no presentations for today. We'll go into executive committee report. Are there any executives wishing to make a report? Begin with Professor Banagar.
Hi, hello, Council. I have a couple of things to update since I've done since my report was put in. I have a meeting with the Equity, Diversity, and Inclusivity Scoping Group today. And they're going to start, so basically they're doing a strategic plan for the university. And I'm going to bring it to council probably sometime in September or October for consultation. So if you're interested in that portfolio at all, let me know because I can give you a little bit of a pre-look at what we've been working on. I also had my first COFA meeting yesterday at 7 p.m. It was the best time ever. COFA is great. And then the last thing I'm going to update on is progress on the student census. So at the EDI Scoping Group, we also looked at a staff version of a census that's going to be going out to university, like staff, faculty, et cetera. And hopefully will be translated into a student one, but the timeline on the staff one will be released in the fall, and then hopefully the staff census will start happening in the winter semester of next year. If you have any other questions, please let me know.
Thank you, Vice President Banagar. We'll now go on to Vice President Brown.
All right, hello everybody. Just a couple of updates from my report here. So I was in Quebec a week and a half ago for the Quebec Student Union Caucus meeting. It went very well. They really like us and CASA, which is a really good thing because we're going to be renegotiating that partnership in the fall. Very excited to be able to do that. I'm sure a lot of you saw that cannabis legalization is coming. We're getting ready for that, doing some planning. The legalization date is going to be October 17th. So a big priority for me is making sure that students are aware and educated about what these changes mean and how it's going to affect them on campus and off campus. As well, met with MP Kerry Diot last Friday. The meeting went really well. He seemed fairly receptive to some of our asks and is willing to support us on a couple of things around student employment. And then President Larson and I were in intro to government meeting, or intro to government kind of workshops from Alberta Education the last couple days. It was great to be there. A lot of our counterparts from across the province were there as well, so nice to see them. And we just finished the Council of Alberta University Students annual general meeting this afternoon as well. Went generally pretty well overall. Looking forward to organizing our Get Out the Vote campaign with them this year. And I believe that's it. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Vice President Brown. Next up we have Vice President Bourgeois.
A couple of things. Today I got an email from a guy called Matthew. He is he works at Adapt Pharma Canada, which is the company that makes naloxone. And they want to find a way to do a opiate kind of awareness campaign on campus. I am super excited about that. I think it's a great idea. Especially with some of the things we heard during the elections about opiate use within student residences. I'm really excited to start getting going with the Health and Dental Committee. So we are going to be finding some students at large to sit on that, some counselors to sit on that. And thank you very much.
Thank you, Vice President Bourgeois. I'll go to Vice President Rickett.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. Hope everyone's having a good summer. So really quickly, just some general updates. This past week, we had our mid-year management meeting, which was really cool. We got to present our team goals to all the managers and other employees and got some really good feedback and discussion, which was awesome. I also met with the UPass committee. Nothing really to report. Everything's looking good. And then I also met with our marketing team to discuss kind of my platform goals and how they can help me with that. And the final thing, for those of you that read my report, I'm super, super excited to announce Switchboard, which is the skill sharing network that I ran on, and it is pretty amazing, if I do say so myself. I hope everyone likes it. It is, you can like put on asks and offers, so you're like, I'm Steven and I speak Korean, and I would like to teach people how to speak Korean. And you can start your little group, or you can find people that are interested in similar things, and connect to alumni, which should be super valuable, so everyone can log on and take a look around. If you have any ideas as for campaigns that we'd like to run, let me know them. I'm thinking anything from like entrepreneurship to language swaps to artists, etc. So if you have any ideas, holla at me. Other than that, I'm excited and I hope that everyone can find their own personal use for it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Vice President Rivka. We'll now go to President Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll just speak very briefly. Most of my things are in my report. I do want to note for council that I will be out of office and unreachable from this Friday through to the following Saturday. I am going fishing, so you cannot actually contact me. I'm fairly excited. I'll be on a lake. On that note as well, I spend exactly 4 days in the Students Union offices over the months of July. Aside from that time I am gone, we go to our CASA Political and Strategy Conference. The entire executive will be at Counterparts, and I have a couple other single-day commitments that eat up almost all of my time. So if you're interested in sitting down with me or speaking with me, please do try and reach out right away so we can try and book those in during those times, because I won't be available for drop-in sort of conversations and will likely be traveling, which will make it fairly difficult for me. Aside that, I'm very excited to talk very briefly. I do intend to have a full budget for Get Out the Vote activities for Finance Committee before I take off on all this travel, as well as I've been speaking with our political policy chair on nonpartisanship and what that would look like for the future of the Students Union, including putting that directly into our political policies. If anybody does have any questions for me on those fronts, please do ask.
Thank you, President Larson. That concludes the Executive Committee report. We'll now move into Board and Committee reports, beginning with Audit Committee from Councilor Palandau versus St. Mary's.
The Audit Committee has not met since last meeting.
Thank you, Councilor Palandau. I'll go to Councilor Kim for bylaw.
Hello, Council. So the last time bylaw committee have met is June 6th at 5 p.m. and we're supposed to meet last week on June 20th. But as you all know, or as most of you know, there was a bylaw ruling that was met that was done regarding the bylaw 600. So we moved our meeting. So the next bylaw meeting will be held actually tomorrow, which is June 27th, 5 p.m. And we'll be discussing about the bylaw ruling, bylaw 600, as well as some questions regarding what to do when those like bylaws are not met, will there be any consequences or things like that. So if any of you are interested, feel free to contact me anytime.
Thank you very much. We'll now go back to Councilor Palandau for Kathy.
Okay, thank you. So I'm going to have a bit of a long update. So we just had our last council meeting at 5 o'clock before council, as always, so feel free to come by for the next one. So the big thing that we decided is we're going to be modifying CAC standing orders to put in an expectation for councillors to volunteer during the week of welcome at the club steward booth, and also an expectation to maintain communication between councillors and our faculty associations. So we also went over the elected representatives board, which has a few errors, and we're in the process of getting that corrected. And we're also going to be putting out a call up for volunteers to maintain our Facebook and other social media pages. So there will be a subcommittee formed within CAC with one of the permanent members of CAC as the chair of the subcommittee, and they will be looking, as all councillors are members of CAC, they'll be looking for members of CAC to run our social media and do a big social media campaign and push throughout the beginning of the fall semester. There's also been some issues with councillor attendance that we're looking into, and I have been notifying councillors' faculty associations if they do miss three or more consecutive meetings, and I have also been notifying the councillors that I have been contacting the faculty associations. There's also a die board. I think I'm going to run out of time, so if you have any questions about the die board hearing, you can ask me, President Larson. But we will be establishing a translation committee. The cost of the translations are looking at a maximum of about $9,200. They'll be done by September 4th with the translation committee up and running with the final translations done by April 10th.
Thank you very much, Councilor Palandau. We'll now go to President Ripka for finance.
Finance committee has not met since last council meeting. Our next meeting is Thursday, July 5th at 5 p.m.
Thank you, Mr. President Ripka. Is there anybody who is a member of the nominating committee who can provide a report on behalf of Councillor Ferris? Mr. President Bettinger.
Nominating committee has not met since the last council meeting.
We'll now go to Councillor Rates for policy.
So policy committee met last week, and members can expect a check-in from me later on this week. The next meeting will be on July 5th. Some major things that came out of that meeting were that the engagement policy is getting to the point where we're going to start discussing it within the committee. So if you have any thoughts on that, please connect with either Councillor Ferris or myself. Also, internationalization policy is going through its kind of like last moments of engagement or outreach, and so council can expect that coming soon. And also the nonpartisan policy, that was something that was brought up within that meeting, and so we'll be discussing that further within and then possibly bringing it towards council in the near future. Finally, just as a heads up, residence policy is coming for second reading today. We did speak about that in our meeting last week, and it was pretty clear cut, but we look forward to discussion nevertheless. Yes, so that's all I have to share. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Wright. So now go to Councillor Sunday for ARC.
So ARC has met a few times. We're currently doing the final revisions of the ad hoc committee's recommendations. As well, at our next meeting, we'll be going over ARC's budget. Other than that, I'd like to remind everyone that every counselor can come to ARC and vote. So if you are looking to know more about Aboriginal students or hear from Aboriginal students, ARC is a great place. We meet not next Monday, but the Monday after at 5 p.m. So yeah, hope to see some of you there. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Sunday. I'll be President Larson for Executive Committee.
The only major update I do have for Council is that we have approved, and we have approved our job descriptions for the Department of Research and Advocacy, which will be two new positions in a concurrent hiring practice. So the head of the department will get hired first, and then a secondary position will get hired at a later time. If Council is interested in those, I do believe they'll be online right away. I'm not sure exactly where they are, just because it's with HR at the moment.
They were, yeah.
Okay, so they are posted. Cool. Thank you, Councilor King.
Thank you, President Larson. We'll now go to Governor Flanagan for the Board of Governors.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Not much for me. It's been a fairly quiet couple weeks. Back on June 14th, President Larson and I went to the Governor's Recognition Dinner, where we honored the contributions and service of members who have left. Former President Miranda Bannister, Board of Governors Representative Mike Sandori, GSA President Patrick Saltania, as well as three public members, Leroy Johnson, Alistair McPherson, and Dick Wilson. That's pretty much it. The answer to my last board trivia question, of which Mr. Banks was the only person who answered. This board member is a University of Alberta professor emeritus who has one time served on the Senate of Canada and was in a faculty saint-jean from 1995 to 2003. The answer to that is Claudette Tardif. The Honorable Claudette Tardif joined the University of Alberta in 1977. As a professor at the faculty saint-jean. She served as dean from 95 to 2003. When she was called to serve in the Senate, she was acting vice president of external relations. Dr. Tardif was educated at the University of Alberta, where she obtained a Bachelor of Education in Secondary Education and a major in French in 1968, Master of Education in Secondary Ed in 78, and a PhD in Educational Administration in 1984. She remains professor emeritus at the University of Alberta. In 2006, she was conferred an honorary doctorate from the University of Ottawa. As for this week's board trivia question, this governor from Devon, Alberta, was a Peter Lougheed Leadership College scholar and spent some time as an English instructor in Shenzhen, China, prior to being appointed to the Board of Governors. If you have the answer, reach out and you may win a prize. Thank you.
Thank you, Governor Flanagan. Is there any other members of boards and committees that wish to make a report?
All right, so this is one, probably a weird one that you don't hear about a lot, but Student Group Services Granting Committee met Saturday before last, and we gave out a lot of money, around $25,000 for student groups in the fall semester. So that's for events, operations, and then another section of money we get is for the EDI grant, and that comes from another group that's not the SU. I can't remember what it is right now, but we gave out a lot of money, so the group should be happy for a while, so that's good.
Is there any other members of boards or committees wish to make a report? Once, twice. Seeing none, that will conclude board and committee reports. We'll now move into open forum. Any of our guests have questions for members of council? Mr. Fung.
Thank you. Regarding, I think I heard in the update to CAC that you're looking to try to set up a translation committee. Can you just repeat that a little bit? I heard that the cost of translation is expected to be $9,200. Is that right?
And who is that question for?
I guess that would be for the chair of the committee, Connor Pounda.
Councilor Pounda.
Okay, yeah, thank you for the question. So, yeah, just to clarify, the IMORB rule that we have to have initial translations done of the current policies and bylaws by September 4th. And so in order to do this, and we got a quote from professional legal translation services, and that to translate all the policies and all the bylaws was $9,291. With the schedules and without the schedules, it was about $700 less, but we do need the schedules translated, so that's the more appropriate quote. And that is just for everything that was done after or as of the Dye Board ruling. So anything after, we're going to be translating it as like on the go as we get everything done. And everything has to be translated by April 10th. And we're going to be setting up a translation committee, and how that will work is currently the process that goes through first and second reading, and then it's approved. But after that, it will be then sent to the translation committee, who will then do it, and then it will be audited by a professional translator, everything at the end of every year. I hope, if you have any other questions or clarifications, let me know.
It's about
$9,291, and I think President Larson can clarify that.
Thank you, Councillor Pellinat. Is there any other questions from our guests?
Sure.
Ms. Brown again.
This is for Baby Student Life, Andre Bourgeois. In your report, you mentioned something about some sort of an opioid campaign, an opioid awareness campaign. Can you expand on that a little bit?
President Bourgeois.
Yeah, thank you. I totally can. The guy messaged me. He's an intern working at the naloxone company. He and the company are interested in assisting us to better prepare staff and students in dealing with opioid overdose on and around campus. He mentions in here, sorry, I'm just like actually have the email open. They want to discuss, one, how we can support our efforts in keeping staff and students safe in the case of an opioid overdose. Two, some of the best practices that we have encountered as it relates to student and staff safety in post-secondary education, that we need them. And three, any 2018 to 19 FROSH activities where they might be able to engage and educate new and returning students regarding the importance of overdose awareness off campus. So, pretty cool.
Thank you, Vice President Bourgeois. Is there any further questions from our guests? Seeing none, that concludes our open forum. We'll now move into question period. Is any members of council who wish to ask a question? Councilor Thibodeau.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. My question is for the chair of the Council Administration Committee. It looks like somebody's left a lot of laundry and something in the front of the room. Could you clarify on what those jackets are?
Councilor Pallinat.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We have all these cool, clean laundry jackets. So feel free to try them on. There are male and female sizes. I don't remember what the sizes are, but there's a bunch of sizes. And then after you try it on, there's a sheet at the front, and everyone who tries it on can fill out their information and put the size. We'll be doing the order on Friday. So if you know someone who's not at the meeting, or if you're on the live stream, please email me your size so we can order you your jacket. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll now go to Councillor Wiley.
Cool. My question is for President Larson. Can you kindly speak to the facilities and operations meeting that you attended and what the priorities that you outlined were in your meeting? Thank you.
President Larson.
Yep, for sure. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you for your question. Overall, the meeting was more, I would call it a touch base that the executive does with almost all of the major units on campus yearly. This one in particular was a bit longer than I think anybody could. How long were we there? About an hour? Who can attest to this? Mm-hmm. Yeah, an hour and a half. The content ranged through everything that facility and operations touches on. There's a number of places that almost every portfolio could speak to. In particular, I would say that my focus was on finding opportunities to collaborate on what is deferred maintenance priorities on campus. Facilities and operations comes up with a fairly robust model to think about how deferred maintenance affects buildings and faculty and their ability to service needs on campus. But there is opportunity and overlap in both those needs and student needs to do what I would call more targeted advocacy towards government to make sure that we actually receive that funding for those projects. So if a project is something that's doing operations, it knows it's critical, but it's also something that students really would like to see, that's a great opportunity for overlap. Any other things could range from, there is residences is in that file. We talked briefly about tenants' rights, what that would mean in residences. And we can refer to any of the other VPs if you would like follow-up, but there is also things like meal plan, rent, cost of maintenance, the students' union building is a topic of conversation for them, as well as any other thing to do with space on campus, if Councilor Reyes has any other questions about that. But generally, the meeting was an information session, so they let us know what they're up to, we let them know what we're up to, we try and find collaboration points, and then we move forward.
Thank you, President Larson. Before we go back to our oral questions here, we have a couple from the live stream. First off, from Councilor Risby for Vice President Batnagar. She couldn't quite hear, what was the second meeting you said you had attended that you said was really good?
So the second meeting that you're talking about was the Council of Faculty Associations meeting. So essentially it's a place for all 14 faculties to sort of meet, and the board that met was the Member Services Board, which is typically comprised of like VP internals or VP events or VP services of any faculty association.
Thank you, Vice President Benninger. We'll now go to Councillor Kim.
Okay, so my question will be quite outdated, as I wasn't able to make it to the last two meetings personally due to my midterm and final, but my question is to President Larson. So this is going back to the question about the $106 million surplus that U of A had made. I was just wondering where is those funds going to be, and what is the correlation between that and maybe international tuition fee? Because I know that that fund cannot be used for the facilities, so we cannot use that for residence portion. But if you remember, they were always bringing up the $14 million. That's why they were increasing the student fees and things like that. And now we have $106 million surplus. Does executive team has discussed what it will be our next plan and what is where, like just more updates regarding that issue?
President Larson.
It's important to keep clarity as to what that large number is. Almost 90% of that funding is earmarked, which means that we cannot spend it because it's either one donor earmarked or a capital funding. So it's going to go towards other things. So the university, it isn't part of their budgeting procedure, but it shows up on their books as a budget surplus in a consolidated budget. The particular important number is the budget variance number, which I'm going to forget this. $14 million, which is the operating grant surplus. That's the 2% base operating that has come from government that the university budgeted at zero. That number in particular is the money that we were pushing to go towards the base operating grant itself, so that way it would be redistributed directly to faculty to lessen the burden of cuts. That money has instead been kind of allocated as a budget variance, so the university was not willing to revisit its budget and the 2% assumption. So instead, they have used that money to alleviate what they would call pressure points in budget scenarios. We don't actually know what those pressure points are as of right now. Myself and other board members are trying to get more information, but we are still, it is more or less waiting for the expenditure to happen. The numbers though that have been quoted are the numbers from the audit. So the university has their audit come out every year. As far as what our steps and what we can do, we do know that the university is going to move towards a three-year rolling budget cycle. So it's challenging that base operation or that base assumption of 0% increases because it was false the first time.
Thank you, President Larson. That's all the time you have. Councilor Palinet.
My question is for the Vice President Ripka. So in your report, you mentioned that the construction, the sub-basin, was delayed. Do you have an estimated completion date?
The prisoner.
Yeah, the reason I didn't put it in is because I couldn't remember at the moment, but it's like mid-August. I want to say it's like August 17th. Don't quote me on that. If I could follow up, that'd be really great. Okay, thanks.
We now have a question from Councillor Ansari for Councillor Palandat. Is there an email to which they can order the size for the jackets? Councillor Palandat.
cpalandat@ualberta.ca.
I'll write that in the...
Yeah, it's just my email. If you look up my name in Google, it'll come up.
Fans Google search it out.
All right. We'll now go to Councillor Molly.
I'm just going to follow up with President Larson on this answer. Was FAB mentioned in the meeting with facilities and operations? And also, is there an update on where the donor money that was donated to SU is going towards now? Thank you. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Okay, beautiful. Thank you.
President Larson.
To answer the first question, security on campus was a topic. FAB itself is going to see a number of updates. The problem is that although a number of those updates have already happened, such as security and some more security on cameras, passcode entry things, and I remember the last thing, I'm not going to lie, but the problem is that it has pushed the problem of just safety into the TIN center. So there's been kind of a runoff effect of security. The ongoing larger issue is that they believe that the city of Edmonton's gentrification of the downtown area has pushed certain populations of people into the university area. So trying to find a solution for that is going to be a larger conversation. We'll continue to follow the facilities as we can and see where the pressure points can be relieved. On the monies front, the biggest... I haven't talked to Mark in like 3 years. My latest update is that we have sent a proposal. And we're just waiting for that to come back, which option they need to choose. And hopefully we'll have a closed up deal by next meeting. Can't promise it.
Thank you, President Larson. Another question from the live stream from Councillor Aizuki for Vice President Bourgeois. Is there a way to get out pharmacy students or student association involved in the opioid awareness? Mr. President Bourgeois.
At this point, I'm gonna reach out to the Office of the Dean of Students as well as Resident Services and find out how we can get involved both as a students union and an administration. After that point, I'm sure that the students union would be open to bringing in students to help out. I also don't know what the naloxone company has in mind for it. Perhaps they have materials already developed that they want to present to campus, or perhaps they've developed the materials and then they want students at the U of A to develop them. Either way, I'm interested post-naloxone awareness in developing a drug awareness campaign that extends beyond opiates and includes things like gambling, alcohol. We're going to need to do something with cannabis when it's legalized, so yeah, thinking bigger after that. Thanks.
Thank you, Vice President Bourgeois. Now go to Councillor Agarwal.
Hello. This question is for Feedkeeper Allen. Hi, Adam. So you mentioned in your report that you met with the marketing team in charge of educational material for students here at the UBA. I was wondering if this process has already begun, and what information you're planning to include in these educational materials, as well as if there is actually a committee in place to determine what information you include.
Mr. President Brown.
Thank you for the question. I always like getting asked questions. It's very base level right now. The meeting with the marketing team was really just to determine kind of our general approach to it. I will say, because now that we have a lot more of a firm deadline of October 17th being the date of legalization, I think we have a much better idea of how to approach it now. So I will be sitting down with BP Bourgeois as well as our marketing team to kind of figure out exactly what kind of materials we want to think about, because we do have to think about specific things for residences, specific things for around impaired driving, because that's also a new law that's come into play along with the legalization, as well as how to compare what is going to happen on campus to potential off-campus thing, if there's any kind of difference between what the city is doing compared to what the university is doing. So along those lines, but it's still very preliminary, but I hope by the end of the summer we're going to have a lot more concrete kind of stuff ready to go.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Now we go to Councilor Ritz.
Thank you. This is a follow-up question from Councilor Magali's question for President Reed, President Larson. So within that meeting on security on campus, was there any encouragement to build relationships with the city or ETS on the SU's front or the university's front, or is there an update that you can give based on that relationship?
President Larson.
I'll defer my answer to Rivka.
Okay. Thank you. I sit on the Campus and Facilities Safety and Security Working Group, which was created as a result of the FAB town hall and student complaints and stuff. And so there are many different stakeholders that sit on that committee, including members of the city of Edmonton and like the police force and stuff too. So they're all in the loop.
Thank you, sir. Can you hit your button again so you're back in the speaker's list for your question? And we have another question from the live stream here from Councilor Rizvi for Vice President Battengar. Thank you for giving a timeline on when the census will be made available, but is there a timeline for when the results of the census will be released? Vice President Battengar.
Thank you for the question. So in terms of the staff census results, the results actually won't be publicized in a public report because of the data and privacy issues around collecting it. So what's going to happen is if like staff and faculty take the survey, if a faculty wants access to the results, so if they, for example, if they're wondering how many minority groups they employ and what their pay scale looks like, that's something that the faculty can ask for and pull directly out of the survey results, for example, but there's not going to be a public report that says we employ X, Y, and Z. But I can follow up as to why that won't be a public report and how we can sort of get access to the information once the student version of it comes out.
Thank you, President Battengar. We've actually run out of time for question period. Is there any members who wish to extend question period? We currently have two members on the speaking list. I see one request to extend. I need five to extend. I see five. We have extended by 15 minutes. Just press your button. I'll get to you once we get there. Next up we have Councilor Thibodeau.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. My question is for VP Brown. You're making me lose my train of thought. Has the Advocacy Department been in contact with any members of the official opposition to the provincial party regarding their political policy, especially in regards to certain terms that have been identified as potentially harmful to the student union?
Mr. President Brown.
Thank you for the question, because this is a very interesting topic. Actually, I believe it was yesterday, President Larson, as well as our chair of the Council of Alberta University Students, Andrew Beeman, had a quick phone call with Wayne Anderson, who is the advanced education critic for the United Conservative Party. Right now, we are in the planning phases of a Pan-Alberta summit where we are trying to assemble all students' associations from across the province, whether it's colleges, polytechnics, undergraduate associations, and graduate associations, for a summit in Red Deer, where we will be discussing get out the vote, as well as just talking through some of this voluntary student union stuff. And so we will be seeing if the United Conservative Party would be able to offer us a little bit more clarity on their approach to this. And it looks like by Mr. Anderson's dialogue with President Larson that he is open to chatting about it, because it is currently only a resolution adopted by the party and it has not been put in caucus policy, and it is uncertain, it's very unclear right now as to whether it'll even go into the party platform. So we're looking for a lot more of that clarity, but yeah, we have reached out.
Thank you, Vice President Brown. We now go to Vice President Ritka.
Hi, I don't know if this is allowed, but may I answer Councillor Palandat's question?
Councillor Palandat can ask you the same question again.
Could you?
Okay. Once we get to him. First up, we have Councilor Palmer.
Oh, I just had a question for Governor Fetterman. I was just wondering about, we had a conversation a while back about open studies, and it was, you were taking it to your meeting, and I was just wondering what came of it.
Governor Flynn.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you for the question, Councillor Palmer. I have not heard back yet, but as soon as I get those materials I requested, you will be the first to know. Thank you.
Councillor Belcourt.
I'd like to direct my question at, I guess, Councillor Paladat as like the chair of CAC and Councillor Sunday as the chair of ARC. I guess like for CAC because it's like related to like the setup of Students Council, and for Sunday because the Aboriginal Relations and Reconciliations Committee. I'm wondering if we would be able to smudge in here, or if that would be an option for students if they wanted to smudge before we had a meeting, and if we could like integrate that into like, I don't know if that'd be like standing orders or no, and that's kind of like a little bit of reconciliation, I think.
Would you like that to go to Councillor Palinette or Councillor Sunday?
Can I do both or?
Only one person can answer your question, unless they choose to defer their time.
Palinette, I don't know.
Okay. Councillor Palinette.
I'm going to be honest, I don't know the answer. I feel like that's definitely like a building policy. We can move it into standing orders. I think it's good. That looks like it's good. I don't know if it's, it sounds like it's allowed. So yeah, we can move that. Like, if you want to come to CAC and then we can draft that into standing orders at the next meeting, I'd be fine with helping with that. And I can defer my the rest of the time to Councilor Sunday.
Councilor Sunday.
Nothing to add.
Nope.
Nothing to add. Thanks.
And we go back to Councilor Pound after your question.
Yeah, just what is it?
You had a question yourself.
I
don't
care.
Can you ask him your question?
Vice President Ripka.
All right, thanks. I pulled up an email that has the answer for it in there. So they estimate that the kitchen should be completed by August 17th, and then they'll finish the rest of the area, like the meeting rooms and stuff, by September 7th. The reason for this delay is because they're waiting on a pretty integral piece of equipment, and apparently the company that's producing it goes on like a 3-week vacation during July. So, you know, but yeah.
Thank you, Vice President Ripka. We'll now go to Councillor Sunday.
My question is to the Vice President Academic. Could the Vice President Academic provide any updates on the university's progress on the Musquat House of Learning?
Vice President Benning.
Okay, thank you for the question. So before, during our transition, when I was with my predecessor and the previous president, we had a meeting with the provost where we asked about that. He said that it's still quote unquote on the radar, but there's no actual timeline on it. But I will defer the rest of my time to President Larson if he has anything else to add about that.
President Larson, you have 1 minute and a half.
A point of personal privilege, can I have the question repeated, please? I was reading smudging ceremony guidelines.
Councillor Sunday, can you please repeat the question?
I guess I'll direct to the president. The president could provide any updates on the Musquat House of Learning.
President Larson.
From my understanding, the current roadblock continues to be funding, both provincial and internal. I can follow up later because I just don't have any more.
President Larson. Councillor Wiley.
My question is for Vice President Batniga. If you could kindly speak to your EDI meeting a little bit, that'd be great. Thank you.
Vice President Batniga.
Thank you for the question. So the Equity, Diversity, and Inclusivity Scoping Group is essentially this group that's actually consisted of a lot of different stakeholders on campus, and our goal is to develop a EDI strategic plan for the university to follow. So this is actually, it's not necessarily open, but if you are really interested in coming to these meetings, you can let me know and I'm able to take a guest. And they really want student input. Other than that, it's a pretty large committee. I feel like this is kind of, it's a pretty large committee, but we do a lot of work on the actual values and the long-term plan of how EDI can be integrated into faculties, departments, and different areas on campus. And hopefully from that, the university, the students' union, sorry, will be developing an EDI strategy that will somewhat correlate with that, so that we're able to sort of move forward together on this.
Thank you, Mr. President Bandegar. We'll now go to Councillor Stiles.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a question from President Larson.
It's a follow-up question from the question asked by Councilor Mulally about the funding. You said that the proposal has been made and you're waiting on that. Can you elaborate on the proposal that you made?
President Larson.
I could pull it up and read it out. Do you mind if I just follow up with you in particular, or does council have an interest in knowing all of the details? The proposal for the Moody's funding is to support either one, I know this, I'll follow up with you as well, but I'll give this general information. One, a program for law students or a general scholarship. There we go. I'm focusing on the actual details because there's more to it than that, though.
Councilor Riggs.
This question is inspired by Councilor Agarwal, and it's for VP Brown, so this will tickle his fancy. Have there been any outreach or any kind of attempt at understanding what the municipality's regulations will be for cannabis? I definitely understand that it won't apply here, but it might be something that's good in negotiating with the university, comparing what's going to be just across the street. And just as an update, like the cannabis regulations will be finalized for July 4th, or within a meeting on July 4th, likely.
Mr. President Brown.
Thank you for the question. I don't think I've ever been asked so many questions. This is fantastic. but in regards to the question, I have not had the time to reach out to the municipal government yet because I haven't been in town the last month a lot. It's on my list, though, for next week for sure. And then I've been on their mailing list as well, kind of keeping track of the information that's been coming out. But it's on my list, so you can ask me at next council meeting, and I'll hopefully have a better answer for you.
We'll now go to Governor Flanagan.
What? Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question for VP Ripka. I was wondering if there's any update on the creator space in the basement of Sub.
President Ripka.
Yeah, thank you. So not gonna lie, when I got into this role, I did not know what it was, but I found the person to talk to, and essentially it exists, is there to use, however there's no policy around how that space is booked, etc. So I'm working with the manager of facility and operations to come up with those, with that policy, and as soon as it's ready, I will let you know. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. President Ripka. Now go to Councilor Palladan.
Thank you. This question is for Vice President Ripka. If Lil Express is closed and the kitchen's not going to be finished, tell you where does the food come from?
Yes!
That's a great question. An important one. Jerry's Kitchen. It's coming from Jerry's Kitchen.
Thank you for deferring the question. Thankfully, we closed Dewey's all summer, so the catering kitchen has been moved to Dewey's in the meantime. How funny would it be, though, if we were just microwaving like frozen meals?
AHS would be. Thank you, President Larson. Before I go to the next speaker, I just want to remind that if you've asked three questions, you can't ask another one. So if you have a question, you can give it to someone else to ask. We have Councilor Sunday.
My question is for the Chair of CAC. I was wondering if the Chair of CAC could provide an update on a meeting of the chairs and when that might occur.
I'll just be really honest and say I forgot to schedule it, but it will probably be regardless, probably mid to late July, once everything's kind of quieted down around the dive board.
Thank you, Councilor Palladan. Next up we have Governor Flynn.
Follow-up question for VP Ripka. We've heard for months now that the room has been done and there's just no policy. So after a couple months, what's the holdup? Thank you.
President Ripka.
Thank you for your question. This is month two, so there's that. And I guess, like, I'm sorry it hasn't been done yet. I can make it a priority if council says that it's a priority. So please let me know if you're in support of policy around this room. Thank you.
Thank you, President Ripka. Councilor Sende, you're on the speaking list, but you've asked three questions. So if you would like someone else to ask a question, you can pass it on to them. You've asked three questions. Appreciate you asked three. You asked three. So I'll give you a couple seconds to pass on to someone. Is there anybody else who wishes to ask a question? Going once.
I'll challenge the chair for that. I leave my question to the vice president academic, but referred to the president. So that would not have been my second question.
I believe you asked one question to the vice president academic and two to the president so far.
I've only asked one, so you can have one.
Because I was under the impression that the president, did not hear my first question and had asked for me to repeat it.
I may have been mistaken if that is the case. I will give you one more question.
Thank you. So my question is for Vice President, what is Operations and Finance? Could the Vice President, does the Vice President know of any rooms within SUP where ARC could currently smudge without setting the building alarms off? Thank you.
Vice President Ripka.
I would like to defer to President Larson, please.
President Larson.
The multi-faith prayer and meditation space, and then also there is a ceremonial room in sub 2400. Oh, it's the First People's House.
Oh, yes.
No, I was just reading the second half of it.
Thank you, President Larson. So, any other members of council wish to ask a question? If you ask that question, just hit your button on your.
Yes, I was just wondering about making a presentation, having the Sustainability Office and the Sexual Assault Center come in and give us a media presentation.
Who is that question for?
President
Larson.
Oh my god. A point of personal privilege, may I have that question repeated?
Yes.
Councilor Palmer.
Yes, I was. I had already sent a note to Emma or the Discover Governance about at the Gov Camp about having some different groups come in and give us a presentation, like the Campus Sustainability Office and Sexual Assault Center, as I think the province just gave them $1 million or something to. So I just thought it was interesting, and they should come and give us a presentation. So I thought maybe you might have some thoughts.
President Larson.
Thank you for the question. If any members, including yourself, do have feedback for GovCamp, we're happy to take it and try and book any presentations that council think would be valuable for next year's incoming group. I can follow up in particular on sexual violence and the other one as well. If you have contacted VP Ripka, though she is the one heading that up at the moment, I believe, is my follow-up. I'll defer my.
Okay.
President
Ripka, you've met now.
Thank you. So sustainability in particular, if you would like that to come to council, do you have through CAC?
Yeah, I can answer the question.
Okay.
I think I know what she's asking.
Yeah, the chair of CAC will answer.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Then we'll go to Councilor Panda, you have a minute.
Just a point of privilege. I just want to clarify the question. Do you just want to know how to book a presentation? Email council.submissions and ask them to add it to the agenda. You just need an abstract and the information on the presentation.
If you require more information,
I don't
know. All
right. I'm able to answer that question.
Email from Emma said that I would need to bring it here to get permission.
We can talk afterwards. Is there any other members of council wishing to ask a question? Going once. Going twice. Seeing none, that will conclude the question period. We'll now move into board and committee business, beginning with now item 7A from the late editions. Sunday, seconded by Moale, on the recommendation of Aboriginal Relations and Reconciliation Committee, move to appoint Councillor Cunarm onto the Council on Aboriginal Initiatives. This is a nomination. And there's only one person recommended, so there will be no debate or speeches. Voting for this motion, actually, we'll send it over to Councillor Sunday to introduce first.
Thank you. As for our standing orders, we have recommended a counselor to sit on a external committee in which its purpose is Aboriginal students. We recommended Councillor Cutarm, as she has previously sat on the committee and has a variety of experiences. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Sunday. Voting for this motion will open now. Those of you on the live stream, send me a plus minus. But it will close in 3, 2, 1. Motion passes. With, if anyone's interested, 26 in favor. 0 opposed, 0 abstentions. All right, well, I'll go back to the main agenda. Rates moves on behalf of Policy Committee to approve the second reading of residence policy. Is there a second for this motion? Councillor Palmer. We'll go to Councillor Rates to introduce the motion. This will work. There we go.
All right, yes. So we are bringing Policy Committee voted unanimously to bring forward the residence policy for a second reading at our last Policy Committee meeting. We discussed this for about 5 to 10 minutes. We're feeling really confident about the work that was done last year and the conversations that we've had this year so far. So just a reminder that the second reading is just to discuss the technical merits of whether we, the Policy Committee, properly interpreted the principles based in the first reading. So seeing that the first reading, there was a little bit of discussion, a lot of support, just remind yourself of that if you're hoping to go into some discussion. If there is discussion, I'm really looking forward to having it. But nevertheless, I think if we can make it visible on the screen, that would be great, but that's about all I have to share for now.
All right. Thank you. I'll go down to it. We are. I'm not going to read through it. You guys can look at it. It's all attached as the one of the information items to the main agenda. We'll now open the floor to debate on this motion. Reminder to council that you were debating whether or not this meets the first principles, but not whether or not you agree with the things that are said here. But it meets the first principles that were voted on last week. Now open the floor to debate. Going once. Going twice. Councilor Agarwal.
I don't know if this is the way to say it, but I propose a motion to change Resolution 2, number 5, from the Students' Union. The Students' Union will I advocate to the Student Union will advocate.
Thank you, and the correct word for that would be motion to amend. So that's a motion to amend, number 2, 5. What do you, please say it again?
Motion to remove, to amend. The Students' Union will I advocate to the Students' Union will advocate.
I thought we did that in the first meeting. That should have been changed.
That was in the first reading, but it wasn't changed. Councilor Rates, is that taken friendly?
It's the friendliest amendment of all time.
Motion is taken as friendly, so that is now amended. So now reads, the Student Union will advocate for. President Larson.
I just want to again express my thanks to the Policy Committee for their hard work, as well as my excitement to have a residence policy that includes advocacy efforts for the Residential Tenancies Act, or at least finding a solution to tenants' rights in residence. I am thrilled to continue work on this file and hope that we can find a solution in a reasonable amount of time.
Thank you, President Larson. Is there any other debate on this motion? Going once, going twice. Seeing none, we'll now close debate. We'll now begin voting on this motion. Okay. Voting will close in 3, 2, 1. Motion passes, 23-4, 0 abstentions, 0 against. Make that 24. Thank you. We'll return to our agenda. I believe that is everything. There is nothing in our general orders. Are there any motions from the floor? Seeing none, we will conclude with attendance. President Larson.
Here.
Vice President Badnagar.
Present.
Vice President Brown.
Here.
Vice President Ripka.
Here.
Vice President Bourgeois.
Here.
Governor Flanagan.
Here.
Councilor Lynn.
Yep.
Councilor Kovas is still here. Councilor Anderson is still here. Councilor Riggs.
Here.
Councilor Mwale. Here. Councilor Hosseini is still here. Councilor Bulak.
Here.
Councilor Cunard.
Here.
Councilor Lee.
Here.
Councilor Palandak.
Here.
Councilor Stapp.
Here.
Councilor Ferris is not here. Councilor Thibodeau.
I'm here.
Councilor Ansari is still here. Councilor Lang.
Aye.
Councilor Desmond Canepa. Councilor Bose. He is not here. Councilor Mustafa.
Here.
Councilor Chung is still here. Councilor St. Hilaire is still here. Councilor Sunday.
Here.
Councilor Bertaroli. Councilor Palmer.
Present.
Councilor Azuki is here. Councilor Hadouche. Councilor Kim. Councilor DePinto.
Here.
Councilor Agarwal.
Here.
Councilor Rizvi is still here. Councilor Bruce is still here.
Hey.
And Councilor Belcourt.
Present.
I am here. I'm not here.